What this policy says is that it's affirmatively a good thing for our mission of protecting human health and the environment for EPA employees to use social media on the job. And we created it because we were getting some questions. I work in our public affairs office and work very closely with our CIO shop. We were getting questions from people around our agency saying, hey, you know, I'm seeing a blog post about something that I know about, or I see a Wikipedia article that's not quite right. Are we allowed to respond? How? And is there guidance on how we respond? So we wanted to give people some consistent guidance on how to take care of that. And again, to convey the idea that this is a good thing. It's not something to be afraid of, but something to be, you know, to do and do right.
Now, my colleague Chris Dorabeck has a real hang up over the term social media. Let's talk a little bit about that term and the definition therein. What does it mean?
Well, I use some social media basically to mean anything that's interactive. Anything other than we post it, you absorb it, I call that social media.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know about Chris's problem with social media, and I've heard other people suggest other words for it. But to my mind, when I go out and I speak to managers around EPA about social media, and I say, what is social media? Someone in the room always knows what I'm talking about. If I were to use some of the other terms I've heard, no one would have a clue what I was talking about. So to me, it's not a matter of what's the perfect word. It's what's the phrase people actually, you know and can use in their head to get the right context. I think there are real... there are real differences in my head between the terms Web 2.0 and social media and some of the other stuff, but they're all fairly minor, and we need a term that will encompass all of it, and so I just use social media. I use social media and Web 2.0 interchangeably, but mostly now I use social media.
What other terms have you heard that maybe people wouldn't recognize right off the bat?
Oh, I think somewhere I read something, someone was suggesting using information media or information management. That's the information resources management. To be honest with you, I'm not sure. None of them ever really stuck because I haven't seen anybody else using them.
And I guess a rose is a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. It's just whatever that gets the point across.
That's the upshot for me. And again, when I'm talking to these senior manager groups around the EPA who are not involved in social media, but they know what I mean. When I say, what do I mean? And they start talking about Facebook and YouTube, that's success. Then I've used a term that they know.
So let's talk about how this came about. What was the impetus behind this?
Well, like I mentioned, we were getting some questions from people, from good people who wanted to do good stuff. I mean, EPA is full of people who are very committed to the mission and are eager to use new tools. This is not a reluctant agency to use, you know, all the tools available to us to accomplish our mission. So people were asking me whether or not they were, for example, allowed to comment on a blog post they'd seen. So we wanted to draw up some guidance so that they could do it well, and there was going to be some consistency in how we do it as an agency.
So the EPA is properly represented using these sorts of tools.
Exactly. And also to help people stay out of trouble. I mean, there are some blurring of boundaries, or a great deal of blurring of boundaries, between private and personal stuff you do online and stuff you do for work. And we wanted to help people avoid those issues.
Give folks a little bit of a sense as to recommendations about what they should do, and how difficult was this to move through the organization?
Well, I'll answer the second part first. The initial write-up, which I wrote, it was January of 2009. It was all of maybe a page, and actually very quickly got concurrence from senior management here in public affairs and our communications network out across the agency. Right around that time, we were creating the EPA Social Media Policy Work Group, which encompasses us in public affairs, folks from our CIO shop, our attorneys, and within the CIO shop, there's different people. So there's the privacy folks, there's records management, there's the technical people who run the servers, you know, information security, and then I've got partners over there who are very focused on the content as we are. So that work group is getting started, and we realized almost immediately that this policy would be much stronger if we ran it through the work group and had it officially issued by the CIO and by the head of public affairs. So that then took almost a year to run through the process.
But that seems like a policy can get really bogged down in trying to delineate out all those issues when this stuff is happening so fast it's almost hard to keep up with.
Well, that's right. And I mean, we've had quite a robust, well, it's a formal thing, but it's not in a policy statement. It's been conveyed through our web governance mechanism, through our communications networks, that anybody who wants to do anything in social media should come talk to their web governance leads and then come talk to us in public affairs. And so that was in place all during that year, and we had people successfully using social media. It just wasn't under the rubric of this formal guidance. But the other question you asked was sort of what do we tell people to do? Well, we kept it as simple as possible. I mean, very deliberately, we drew a parallel, and the document is called Representing EPA Online. We don't even call it social. We don't include the word social media in the title. The idea is that when you're representing EPA, you're representing EPA. Whether you're on the phone, you're speaking at a conference, you're sending an email, you're responding to a blog post, or frankly, you know, you're hanging out with friends at dinner. Anytime you speak on behalf of EPA, it's the same concept, and so the same kinds of concepts apply. You wouldn't go to a conference without your manager approving your time to go. Well, same thing in social media. If you're going to go scan the web for blog posts relevant to your subject matter, you wouldn't do that without your supervisor's approval. We don't intend there to be, you know, a 35-page, $200,000 contract-based report, you know, recommending how you're going to get into it. It doesn't have to be that kind of a business case. We just mean, like, you go to your manager and say, hey, listen, I'd like to start scanning the web for blog posts and maybe do that once a week for a couple of hours. Is that okay? And that's about the level of, you know, required discussion with your supervisor. As long as your supervisor is comfortable with it, that make, you know, that's something we wanted to make sure of, because the supervisor is responsible for your time. We want to make sure people are doing this and identifying themselves as EPA employees, or if they're contractors who are being directed by EPA employees, to identify themselves that way. You know, we should not be doing this anonymously. We don't want to be accused of sneaking around behind the scenes. And I know there's been some problems with that in the past, particularly with government putting out things and not acknowledging it's coming from a government agency. We tell people to stick to facts, not opinions. People are entitled to their opinions. There's a great cartoon that I read one time that had someone sitting up late at night, and his wife was yelling, you know, come to bed, you know, give it up, it's the middle of the night. And he's like, I can't, someone's wrong on the internet. You know, well, someone's always wrong on the internet, right? So, you know, so if someone's saying, oh, you know, EPA is crazy, they're going the wrong direction, that's not worth taxpayer dollars to go argue with that person. But if someone is giving out information that says, you know, the regulation says the number is 6 and the number really is 5, well, that's a potential place where we can plug in and be helpful. And then we also tell people cite your sources and link back to original material online so people can go see. You know, we're following the general concept that just because you say you work for EPA, A, doesn't necessarily mean you really do and doesn't necessarily mean you know what you're talking about. But if you can cite your sources and send people back to the original material, that's best. And that brings up another point. Stick to what you know about. If you work in the Office of Water, you should not be representing EPA online about, solid waste or about climate change and vice versa. So within those fairly simple guidelines, and there's one or two other things you got to watch out for, we wanted to make it as easy as possible for people to draw some parallels between what they've done, you know, for years without social media and what they can do in the realm of social media.
There's a really important distinction that you made that I have heard from others in the federal government and contractors for the federal government that people are struggling with. And perhaps you've nailed it here, and that is the difference between your online activities when you are representing EPA or your agency and when you're not. And this guidance doesn't apply to when you are just Joe Smith, who happens to live in, say, Maryland, as opposed to Joe Smith, who works for EPA. There's a difference there, and that's a very important distinction that can be made. How would other agencies be able to sort of follow that lead?
Well, first of all, I agree with you. There is a difference. It's also often a tricky difference. I don't mean to trivialize it.
No, it's a very tricky difference. But we get a lot of questions about it.
It's an important difference. In terms of following our lead, I mean, I posted the policy out on our on the Social Media Subcouncil's wiki, which is, you know, I co-chair that interagency group. We deliberately put it out there with the original Word document so people can grab it and edit it and make it appropriate to their own agency if they see fit. We also put out a flowchart that I put out the original of that too, so people can adjust that if they need to. Because even with all the conditions I explained, or even the steps people should take, it's not always appropriate for us to use our time to respond to something. There are times you just take a look at it and just say, you know, oh, forget it, it's not worth our effort.
Jeffrey, I know you've looked at the DOD policy, and it's different than yours in that they were facing the challenge of, okay, do we open this up to DOD or not open this up? Yours is different in that it's really almost the mechanics. How do you do this in a safe way?
That's exactly right. It was that, and I'll tell you, the one comment, and I think this is significant in terms of leadership, and I can't comment on DOD's leadership.
No, of course.
But here, when I showed the final policy to my boss, who's the deputy head of public affairs here, his only comment was, in the transmittal memo that's coming from the head of public affairs and the CIO, let's make it more positive, even more positive in the opening paragraph. You know, make sure people really do understand we see these as valuable tools. This is not run, hide in the corner, but if you occasionally want to, you know, poke your head out, here's how to do it. It's this is beneficial to our mission. And we also very deliberately put it that way. This is beneficial to environmental protection. It's not, so we don't do this just because it's beneficial to EPA. We do it because it helps us achieve our mission.
And it's important to note also that this is an evolution. This is evolving constantly,
right,
and still in development.
Yeah, absolutely right. And to go back to that line between the ever blurring line between private and public, there are some things that still apply, and we do note them in the policy. I mean, ethics rules still apply. There are limits on what you're allowed to say as a federal employee, even on your own time. They have nothing to do with social media. They have everything to do with the fact that you're a federal employee. There are, for example, limitations under the Hatch Act is what you can do around political activity. So those certainly still apply in your private life, no matter what you're doing. And as you say, it's evolving, and those understandings, I think it'll be a matter of, you know, I think what the legal system calls case law, you know, interpretations handed down over time will help clarify some of these questions.